seated. Open your Bibles. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Thank you very much. It's good to have you back. 1 Samuel chapter 14. First Samuel chapter 14, if you would please. First Samuel chapter 14. If you're a freshman sitting next to a senior, help him find that, would you please? First Samuel chapter 14. Place is like a deserted ghost town when you're away. It's so good to have you back. You put life into these buildings, and it's great to have you here. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Are any of you men? Of course, the ones who are yelling right now are trying to prove it. But are any of you men somewhat, you know, kind of like me? Did you ever kind of wish you could be the hero? You ever have subconscious thoughts of, you know, someday I'd like to, you know, I remember when I was real young, real little, I always wanted to be Mighty Mouse. You know, he always won the fight and got the pretty girl. I wanted to be Mighty Mouse. But wasn't long, and I grew up some and became a little more mature and sophisticated. And so then I wanted to be Johnny Quest. You know, he always killed the bad guys and saved the whole world. I wanted to be Johnny Quest. But then when I really matured and became a seasoned, I wanted to be, listen up. I wanted to be Roy Rogers. You know, he always caught the outlaw and had the cool horse. But sincerely, right after my wife and I got married, she realized that I was not a reader and never had been. And I won't go into the story right now. It's a whole story in itself, how she tricked me and never told me until 14 years later that she had tricked me into becoming a reader, for which I am eternally grateful that she did. But I remember reading and wishing that I could be like men like Martin Luther, George Whitefield, David Brainerd, George Washington, Patrick Henry, Paul Revere, Daniel Boone, John Paul Jones, Andrew Jackson, Davy Crockett, Charles G. Finney, Sam Houston. All of these men, I read their life story, most of them multiple times. Everyone listening now. Robert E. Lee, David Livingston, Stonewall Jackson, Teddy Roosevelt, Billy Sunday, J. Frank Norris, Sergeant York, Winston Churchill, Eddie Rickenbacker, Chesty Puller, and Douglas MacArthur. Just to mention a few. I remember many, many times in my early, mid-20s when my wife first got me into reading some of those men's life stories, and often tears streaming down my face as I read about the things that they had done, how they had accomplished great things and done things to better the world. I still remember that first night of the siege at the Alamo. That day, no one had been killed. One man wounded, no one killed. There was just a sporadic exchange of cannon fire between the Alamo and the enemy army. About just moments before the last twilight disappeared, Davy Crockett became just curious. How many enemy soldiers are there out there? I still remember when Davy Crockett and two or three of his men and I climbed the ramp inside the Alamo, was peering over the wall. Off in the distance, there was a shorter wall around the outer courtyard. The river made a big bend right at the wall. And an enemy soldier, who also seemed to be curious, was making his way along the bank of the river until he got up right by the wall. It was far enough away and there was not much light, and he was barely exposing a little of his body above the wall. He seemed also to be curious until all of a sudden I remember hearing the crack and seeing the fire jump from the barrel of Davy Crockett's musket, and that first enemy soldier fell dead. I was there. I saw it happen. So it seems. I remember the first night on Guadalcanal. I remember crawling from one muddy foxhole to another with Chesty Puller all night long, never sleeping. Foxhole to foxhole, trying to calm the boys down as we took incoming shells from the Japanese naval bombardment. I was there that night, or so it seems. To this day, my heart burns and my soul is stirred when I read stories in the Bible of the great men. Men like Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Moses and Joshua, some of my dearest friends. Gideon and David and David's mighty men and Jonathan and Daniel and John the Baptist and Peter and James. Paul the Apostle. I don't know how many hours Enoch and I have walked with God and discussed what a privilege it is to do so. I don't know how many nights I've plucked splinters from my bloody hands after spending the day working with Noah and his sons building the ark. When I come to a story in the Bible about one of the valiant men in the Bible, I usually just hang on every word as I read that story. And it usually seems like, now sometimes I'm just like you, I'm as human as you, sometimes I'm in a big hurry to get my Bible reading done and move on to the next thing. But sometimes I'm there where it's happening and when it's happening. The valiant men in the Bible, we don't use that word much in our language today. That's not a common word. You rarely ever hear, we hear of great men, we hear of mighty men, but we don't hear of valiant men very. It's a word that we've sort of lost from our vocabulary. I wonder if we've lost that word from our vocabulary because we've found better words to substitute, or I wonder if we have lost the valiant men, and therefore we no longer need that word in our language. You look up the word valiant in the dictionary and it'll tell you strong, vigorous, brave, and courageous. What I want to do this morning, I'm not going to exactly preach a sermon. I'm going to teach a Bible study. We're going to look at several places in the Bible, and we're going to look at some of the biblical traits or characteristics of a valiant man. Would you look at 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 52? 1 Samuel 14:52 says, "And there was sore war," or great war, we might say, or terrible war, "against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him." I want you to notice one of the traits that's associated with being valiant here is the fact that these men are strong. I want you to notice also that they were needed by their king, and they were needed for their nation. Now, if you would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. A little bit later, Saul was having trouble with his own spirit. He was troubled in his spirit. And one of his servants suggested, "Why don't you find somebody who can play the harp and have them come and play some soothing music, and maybe that'll help your spirit." And one of the other servants said to Saul in verse 18, I'm in chapter 16, verse 18, "Then answered one of the servants and said, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him.'" Notice in this particular case, of course, they're talking about David. The associated traits with being valiant was the fact that he was a proficient musician. He was a man of war. He was prudent. He was comely. Comely means, that's another word we don't use very much in our language today. Comely means someone who's decent, someone who's proper, someone who's suited to the time or suited to the place or suited to the circumstance. And then, of course, the big thing, and the Lord was with him. Notice this young, valiant man was needed for the king's sake. Now, if you would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Now it's a little later in Saul's life, and at this point, Saul and 3,000 of his most elite forces, be kind of like our Navy SEALs, they were pursuing David. And in that pursuit, they came to a certain time and place, and they decided to lay down and sleep for the night. So when Saul laid down in the middle of the camp with his 3,000 Navy SEALs surrounding him, he had a bolster, which we would call a pillow. He laid down with his head on the bolster. He took his, I think they call it a cruse of water. We'd call it a canteen. And he took his spear and he put them next to his bolster or next to his pillow. In the middle of the night, David and his assistant Abishai sneaked into the enemy camp where Saul was and made their way all the way to where Saul was laying there asleep. And Saul took his canteen, David took Saul's canteen, his cruse of water, and he took his spear. And then the two of them sneaked back out of the camp, and they got over on the other side of the valley. And from the other side of the valley, David yells back at Abner. Abner was Saul's right-hand man. He was Saul's chief of staff. He was Saul's, the title you give it, the man who was in charge of the secret service that protected the king. That was Abner's job. And look at chapter 26. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And David said," from across the valley, he's yelling across the valley, "said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster." So David is telling Abner, hey, I thought you were a valiant man. I thought there was supposedly nobody else like you in the whole kingdom. You were Saul's right-hand man. If you had been valiant like you claim to be, and like it is acclaimed that you are, then you would have not only been willing to be strong, not only willing to be vigorous, not only willing to be brave and courageous, but also you would have been diligent enough and vigilant enough to be prepared for the moment when you were needed. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 31. Now a little later in Saul's life, Saul and his three sons had been killed in battle. The Philistines took their bodies back to a place called Bethshan, and they hung their bodies on the wall in Bethshan. Then look at verse 11. I'm in chapter 31. Look at verse 11. "And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night." These are men who had been fighting in the battle with Saul all day that day. So now they've been in battle all day. Now they stay up all night. Let's see what they do. Verse 12. "All the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall in Bethshan." So they either sneaked in the middle of the night, or they fought their way in. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. "And came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So these valiant men who had been in battle all day long, then they stayed up all night to go back and get Saul's body off the wall and come back and give it a proper burial. Notice that they were needed for their king. Even after he was dead, they were still needed for their king. Now turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. We just have one or two more verses we're going to look at here real quick. Maybe three, maybe four. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And I want to read just one verse, verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And Joab gave up the sum," or reported the number, the sum of the number of the people unto the king. "And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men." I want to point out here that just to be valiant, it's not just those who become well known. There were 800,000 valiant men here, and it doesn't give one single name. You don't have to be Mighty Mouse to be valiant. You don't have to become as well known as Johnny Quest to be valiant. You don't have to be the Douglas MacArthur to become valiant. You don't have to be the Teddy Roosevelt to become valiant. There were 800,000 valiant men here. They never did become. I remember one time I was in a question and answer session with Brother Hiles at a place where we were speaking in a conference. We always did those luncheons on Tuesday after the morning service. And somebody asked Brother Hiles, "Brother Hiles, in your opinion, who's the best preacher in America?" And Brother Hiles said, "Well, you've heard me say many times that my favorite preacher is Tom Malone." He said, "But the best preacher in America, none of us know for sure who he is." He said, "Because very few of us have ever heard him preach." He said, "Somewhere in some little out-of-the-way place, he gets up every Sunday morning and he pours his heart out to a group of people that he loves, and he tries to bring to them what God gave him during the week." Turn now, if you would, quickly to 1 Chronicles chapter 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. And I'm going to read just one verse. Verse 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 18. "The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear the buckler," that's a small shield that they hold on one arm while they fight with a sword in the other hand, "men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot the bow and skillful in war, were 440,703 that went out to war." There were 44,760 men that were not just willing to be valiant, they were able to be valiant, able to hold the buckler, able to fight with the sword, able to shoot the bow, skillful in war. That means they were trained, that means they practiced, and that means they continued to prepare until they were needed. Now turn quickly to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Stay with me. I'm going to tie all this together in just a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And Azariah the priest went in after him," after Uzziah the king had gone in the temple when he wasn't supposed to be in there, "and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men." Would you look at me just for a second? My father, I've said this many, many, many times around here, I probably say it every time I preach, my father was in the 82nd Airborne, fought in the Battle of the Bulge, World War II. As a little kid, you know, I thought it would be cool someday to grow up and be a paratrooper. I thought it would be cool to someday grow up and be a Marine and wear that blue uniform and carry that sword. And, you know, sometimes I remember thinking, boy, you know, it'd be cool to grow up someday. And the Navy SEALs weren't known well when I was a young kid. They were pretty covert to everything they did back then. And but I thought about the Army Rangers, you know, boy, cool to be an Army Ranger. But you don't have to necessarily be in a military operation to be valiant. These priests were valiant. The king had gone in the temple when he wasn't supposed to be there and doing some things he wasn't supposed to do. And the priest and these other men went in there, these valiant men went in there to stand their ground. You don't have to shoot a gun to be valiant. You don't have to fight with a sword to be valiant. You don't have to kill somebody to be valiant. You can be valiant in other ways. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, I want to read verse 3. Jeremiah 9:3 says, "And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. Would you look at me for a moment? These particular men that this verse is talking about were not valiant for the truth. So I conclude it must be possible to be valiant for the truth. All of these men that we see here in the Bible, every one of them, they were men that were strong. They were men that were vigorous. They were men that were brave and courageous. But notice in the biblical examples of those that were valiant, they were not just strong, vigorous, brave, and courageous for their own sake. In every case, they were valiant for somebody else. They were valiant for the king. They were valiant for their family. They were valiant for their tribe. They were valiant for their nation. They were, in this case, valiant for the truth. Oh, sure, when I was a little kid, I wanted to win the fight and get the pretty girl. I wanted to be Mighty Mouse. But that's not being valiant. I wasn't valiant when I was 4 and 5 and 6 years of age, or when I was 19 years of age and still wanted to be Mighty Mouse. But anyway, that's not valiant. Is not, hey, I'm tougher than you are. Valiant is not, I'm stronger than you. Valiant is not, I can beat you up. Valiant is not, I'm better than you. Valiant is, when I'm needed, I'm willing to be valiant for someone else. In my lifetime, one of the examples that I have known of someone being valiant was on March the 30th. Make sure I've got the right date here. I believe it was March the 30th, 1981. Now, I know you were not born yet, but March 30, 1981, President Reagan had left the White House, went a few blocks away to the Washington Hilton Hotel and made a speech. When he came out from that speech, he was on his way to his car, and suddenly gunfire broke out. I can't remember exactly what they said. I reread the report and watched the videos a couple times recently to refresh my memory. But I believe they said in 1.6 seconds, 7 shots were fired by the man trying to kill President Reagan. Tim McCarthy was a Secret Service agent. He was on duty that day. He was a couple of steps off to the side out of the line of gunfire. And the moment that first bullet was fired, the seventh bullet was fired in less than 1.6 seconds. But somehow, Tim McCarthy got from here to here and spread himself as far as he could in order to take one of the bullets on purpose to keep it from hitting President Reagan. He didn't do that because he decided, after the gunfire started, I think I'll take advantage of this opportunity and become a valiant person. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible gives us a marvelous list of great men and women, men like Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. And then we come in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 to verse 32. Look at verse 32, if you would, please. The writer of the book of Hebrews says in verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. And notice this phrase, waxed valiant. Waxed valiant. Waxed. We don't use that word in our language today. Hardly ever. Waxed means to increase, means to grow, means to become larger, as the waxing and waning of the moon, means to pass from one state to another, means to become, such as waxed strong, waxed feeble, waxed old, waxed worse and worse. And it usually denotes a gradual and a consistent changing from one to the other. You wax valiant gradually. You wax valiant consistently. You wax valiant day after day. Okay, let's put it real plain in your language. The way you become valiant while you're here at Howells Anderson College is you get up and go to class every morning. Oh, and you make your bed before you leave. Oh, and you come to chapel every day. And you go to work every evening. And by completing your outside assignments and turning them in on time. By serving in your ministry faithfully every weekend. By obeying the rules. By paying your bills on time. By spending your private time with God, by reading your Bible day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. Those of you that have been on the staff, been here for years, every one of you will know the answer to this. Our former president, Dr. Wendell Evans, who was our president for 26 years, he often made the statement, Christianity is not measured in years. It's measured in decades. The way you wax valiant is not all of a sudden, here's my opportunity. I can rise and shine and become famous. Tim McCarthy didn't become valiant in that 1.7 seconds it took that man to shoot that gun, 1.6 seconds that it took that man to shoot that gun seven times. He became valiant by going to work day after day, practicing time and time again. You know, when that first shot went off, he didn't have to stop and think about what to do. He didn't have to figure out what was right and what was wrong. It was reflex. He had waxed valiant. It had become normal to him. And in the reflex, I suppose if you ask him, he just retired last year from being the chief of police in Oak Park right here in the Chicago area, Tim McCarthy did. But if you ask him, I suspect he would tell you that he was in place and he was taking that bullet before he ever thought. He did it without thinking. It just happened because he had been trained. He had waxed valiant. One of these days... When you're going to be needed, are you going to be there? Or is that the morning you're going to sleep in? Is that the morning you're going to take every cut you can get from class? Is that the morning you're going to call off from work because you feel a little bit bad? I'm just curious. How many of you... So far this semester, you've had perfect attendance in all your classes. Now, you might have missed part of a class because you had to come here to practice for a special in chapel early. Or maybe the administration asked you to volunteer to do something. But I mean, you haven't taken any of your cuts. You haven't missed a class because you felt bad one day. How many have perfect attendance so far this semester? Would you stand right now? Those of you who have perfect attendance so far this semester. Remain standing for a moment. How many had maybe, okay, something went wrong this semester. You were legitimately sick, fine. But how many, in addition to these, remain standing, had perfect attendance in your classes last semester? Would you stand right now? Those of you that something's come up this year, but this semester, but last semester you did. Can I tell you, we're looking at the beginning of some valiant people. I'm not predicting that every one of these folks are going to live a great, successful life for God. I'm not predicting that none of these folks will ever blow it someday. But I'm saying we're looking at the laying of the foundation of becoming a valiant. They waxed valiant. You can be seated. How many of you so far this year, other than the Christmas holiday, other than last week, spring break, but you've had perfect attendance on your job this year, Monday through Friday or whatever days you work, you've had so far this school year, you've had perfect attendance. This calendar year, you've had perfect attendance on your job. Would you stand right now? Remain standing for a moment. Now, how about those of you that, okay, you were legitimately sick one day this semester, but last semester you had remained standing. Would you join them if you had perfect attendance on your, what we call secular job last semester? Would you stand right now? You know, when I read in the Bible about the valiant men like Enoch and Moses and Abraham and Joseph and others, man, when I feel like I'm in their presence and I'm there while it's happening and we're sitting in that prison, Joseph and I are sitting in that prison together, and we're trying to keep a good spirit or when Daniel and I are in that lion's den together and we're petting that lion and hoping he stays calm. There's a certain stirring of my soul when I'm in the presence of Joseph, when I'm in the presence of Moses. There's a certain stirring of my soul when I'm in your presence, knowing that you are becoming valiant. One of these days, you'll be the one. You'll be the one. When that moment comes, maybe there'll never be one dramatic moment, but those moments come one after another when you're needed. And you're there because it became habit to you. It became just what you do. I'm in college, so I go to class. Duh, that makes sense. I'm an employee, so I go to work. Duh, that makes sense. I'm becoming valiant. You can be seated. I wonder how many are sitting here right now, and so far this semester, you don't have, or at least at this moment, as far as you know, you don't have one single point yet. Would you stand? You don't have one single point. You know what that means? Listen to me. Listen to me. Fellas over here, listen to me. You know what that means? That means every morning they made their bed. That means every morning they put their things away. That means every week they completed their reports. That means not one time have we caught them yet when they didn't do what they were supposed to. You can be seated. How many of you this school year, not counting Christmas, not counting spring break, but this school year, as far as you can remember, you've been at every ministry meeting you're supposed to be at. Every Saturday morning you were supposed to be at a ministry meeting, you were there, and you spent the amount of time you were supposed to on Saturday involved in your ministry, and you showed up on Sunday and you did what you were supposed to do on Sunday. You've been basically in your place every time you were supposed to be for your ministry this school year. Let's have you stand right now. Remain standing for a minute. On purpose, I did not ask all the different categories to stand at the same time. I didn't want any one person to be embarrassed that I don't fit any of those categories. But may I say something to you? I love you dearly. I do not mean to be unkind. As much as a human being, as this human being knows how, with love in my heart, I'm trying to help you. If you couldn't stand for any of those categories, the Bible said they waxed valiant. They waxed valiant. You may be seated. If you stood for any one of those categories, it doesn't matter which one, if you stood for any one or more, when they dismiss chapel in a few minutes, I have stacks of my books in the back on tables. I want everybody who stood for any one of the categories, one or more, I want you to go back there to the back and pick out one of my books, and my wife and I want to give it to you as a gift, and thank you for heading in the right direction of becoming a valiant person. The three tables are arranged about the same. You can go to any one. All the books are on each table. We may run out of some book. If we do, you'll just have to take a different book than the one you wanted. But there's enough back there that everybody who stood can get at least one. Thank you.